that the Gentiles, here's the mystery, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. People will argue in verse 5, oh, well, Peter preached it too. He's one of the holy apostles. Well, no. Just because the Spirit revealed that mystery to Peter, if he did, and if he did so, it would have been done by the Spirit through Paul at, for example, at Jerusalem in Galatians 2 and Acts 15. But that doesn't mean he turned around and preached that same message, because we know, according to Galatians 2, that Peter and James gave to Paul the right hands of fellowship that they should go to the heathen, and that Peter, James, and John would continue to go to the Jews, the circumcision. But nevertheless, it's now being revealed, he says, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And what is the mystery? Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, let me ask a question here, but first let me read what Christine wrote. Is this ministry the ministry of reconciliation which we carry on? And yes, right now we all have the ministry of reconciliation. Paul's specific ministry to fulfill the Word of God is not what we are carrying on, because obviously the Word of God is fulfilled. So the ministry of Colossians 1 that Paul was specifically referring to was to fulfill the Word of God by revealing the mystery. Now our job is to show men the mystery in order that they might be saved, not for the purpose of fulfilling the Word of God, you know. So I just wanted to make that clarification. But you're right about the ministry of reconciliation is that which we carry on today. Now, my question about Ephesians 3 verse 6 is, is the mystery there of verse 6 the mystery that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and raised again? Mary says no. Benoit says no. Anybody else want to chime in? I didn't want anybody to think I was cutting them off. Mike and Powell say different part. Not only no, but heck no. That's right. And all of the above, yes, that the Gentiles will be saved without Israel. In other words, there's more than one mystery, isn't there, that God gave to Paul to reveal. And so there's the mystery that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and raised again. And then there's the mystery that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. So whether you want to see it as a different part, which is fine because it's something else, or because it ties into it, it's in addition to that mystery, you wouldn't have Gentiles being fellow heirs and of the same body without the gospel of Christ. And the gospel is right there in verse 6. So that's a fair enough assessment to say a different part. It all is basically pointing to the same idea. If the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, which is a mystery itself, that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and raised again, the point of this mystery is that Gentiles can be in the same body, which would seem to indicate that there may have been a time when these particular Gentiles were not being offered that condition or that position. Benoit writes, and that the body of Christ will take over heavenly places in the place of Satan and company. Yeah, I mean, in other words, there's several things about, I mean, Paul says we are to be made stewards of the mysteries of God, right? And I don't believe he's talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Paul wouldn't have deemed it necessary for us to be stewards of the mysteries of the kingdom when that's not our inheritance anyway, right? If we're going to be seated far above and on and on. But there are several mysteries concerning the body of Christ, such as the rapture. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There's something called the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, on and on in 1 Timothy 3. There's the mystery of iniquity of 2 Thessalonians 2. And on and on. So we can show several mysteries, and I go as far as to say, and I realize there's some disagreement about this amongst grace believers, but I go as far as to say that there's a distinction between the mystery that all men could be saved and the Gentiles could be fellow heirs and of the same body, from the actual gospel of Christ mystery, which was revealed that he died for our sins, was buried, and raised again. Now, having said that, And the reason why I wanted to get your thoughts on that, and by the way, Mary shares Ephesians 2:12 because those are the Gentiles in question. The ones I referred to about being aliens from the commonwealth and everything else, those are the Gentiles that now can be fellow heirs. So we know there was a time when Gentiles would have had to have been in the commonwealth of Israel and part of the covenants of promise in order to have a hope. Right? That's right, Jim. And you know what's fascinating about that is there's still grace believers that don't like this idea. And it's okay with me if they don't like it, you know, but they preach against it because they're bothered by the idea that there's a transition of progressive revelation where Paul went to the Jew first and also to the Greek and then later to Gentiles. They want the Greek to just be Gentiles, period, and that it was basically that, you know, there's no unfolding, there's no transition, which is the whole point of calling the remnant out in the first place of Romans chapter 11. And what's funny about that to me, not funny, haha, but funny, interesting, is these same grace believers who I call brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't believe this is a divisive issue, or it doesn't need to be. I think some would divide over it, but it's not necessary. But these same grace believers who would point out to you and defend vehemently that there's two gospels, the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel that Paul preached being distinct from that, are also in opposition to the idea that there might be more than one gospel where the body of Christ is concerned, that they build one upon the other. That there's the gospel of God, which is the good news that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He proved it by raising Him from the dead. The gospel of Christ that shows that He died for our sins. And the gospel of the grace of God that includes these Gentiles in that same body. And they want to make that all one gospel. And their concern about making the statements that I do about all this is that I'm splitting the body. That I'm making two bodies of Christ, which I don't believe it at all that that can be gleaned from what we teach. If there are those that teach there's two bodies, they are in error. And, you know, Ephesians chapter 4 is clear on that. There's one body. But I just find it funny that they're willing to divide on the issue of Peter and Paul, but they're not willing to rightly divide Paul's epistles. Is that one of the arguments, Benoit, that they make? It's too complicated. What about the simplicity? And they have a point, at least in the sense that today it makes no difference because we're preaching the gospel of Christ, which is the gospel of the grace of God, in order that all men be saved. So the timing of the fact that there was ever a remnant and a Jew first and all that stuff is irrelevant, but you still have to deal with it because the Scripture says so. And if somebody were to read, for the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, how do you accurately show them that we don't have to go to the Jew first today when the Bible clearly says that you do? Well, you have to rightly divide Paul's epistles. So Linda, good to see you, Linda. I'm glad that you're here. She shares 1 Corinthians 4 with us about the stewards of the mysteries. And that's what I think is important, that in order to be good stewards of the mysteries, we have to know where they're placed in the progressive revelation. Okay? Now, here's something interesting that keeps coming up by a certain brother. I don't know whether or not he would argue that there's two bodies. I don't think he would. And I'm fairly certain that he... Well, I shouldn't say I'm fairly certain about this. I'm not sure either where he would stand on the issue of Gentiles and Greeks. Okay? Where I stand and Brother Jerry and Brother E.C. Moore and others believe that there's a difference between Greeks and Gentiles. I would propose to you that the Greeks were Gentiles that were near or nigh, and they were in the covenants of promise, not everybody from Greece, but those in the synagogues. And I would suggest or propose to you that the other heathen Gentiles were those that were not, that were far hence, as in Ephesians 2:12 that Mary shared just a moment ago. But this brother that I'm speaking of argues and maintains this point. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 15. not going to try to, you know, stir things up with him. We email each other back and forth. I count him a brother in Christ. There's no animosity between us at all. In fact, I got a letter from him recently where I thought he might have stated something in error, and I wrote him back and I responded to him. And he wrote me back and very graciously pointed out that I misunderstood his point, and I did. I did. I was assuming he was making a point that he was not making, and so I had to write him back and apologize to him for misconstruing his point. I was sort of tying it into another point that he had made earlier, and I drew an assumption out of that that was incorrect. So it's great that he and I can have this debate with each other and not divide over it, okay? So nothing here is being intended to impugn anybody. But if, unless I'm misconstruing him again, I believe he's making this statement. Is it right quick? Give me just a second here. Okay, here it is. First of all, you know the gospel in verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, or Peter, then of the 12, resurrection, right? He died for our sins and was raised again, seen of Peter and the 12, evidence of resurrection. Verse 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, evidence of resurrection. Verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Now watch. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. And the brother in question takes from verse 11 that Paul is saying that Peter and the apostles before him preached the gospel of Christ. I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, so if I'm wrong about this, I will apologize. But that's what's being gleaned here, as far as I can tell. In other words, that's what he's trying to... What do you think about that? I want to let some of y'all chime in on this. Silence. Can y'all still hear me?